Okay, yeah, good morning. My name is Klaus Madsen. I'm from Aalborg University, which is actually, Aalborg is a city here in Denmark, but just in the other end of the country. And this is my first Ravens workshop ever, so I don't really know what to expect, and I don't know what you expect. So that obviously or tends to make me a little uneasy, but let's see how it goes. I have this presentation, and if nothing else, then there are a few pictures and such. So, what am I working on? I'm working on trying to achieve augmented reality that looks realistic. So I want to insert CG objects into images, and I want to do it in real time, and then you say, okay, I got to the wrong place. This is Radiance and real time. But I use Radiance for testing things and for developing techniques. So this is the objective or the goal, that I want to be able to do things like this in real time. And then, yeah, I'm sorry for this programmer's art. It's just random objects thrown into images. So my presentation, the goal I just presented. Then I'm showing a few pictures from some work that we're involved in doing. And I'm then be looking at what is the fundamental problem of what I'm trying to achieve. And then I have a few slides on what we're doing, how it works, and then a few more experimental results. So I have a small video here of a prototype augmented reality viewer device that we constructed a couple of years ago. It's like a sort of a person-sized pole thing with a monitor, and that thing out there on the side, that's an encoder for monitoring rotation. So when I grab the bar there, you can pan and tilt, and then there's a camera on the other side, and the monitor shows the camera feed plus something that I inserted. So this statue is rendered in real time using illumination captured in advance with a light probe. But I want to get away from those light probes. That's the whole thing. We actually, even if Aalborg University is just a regular university, and I tend or try at least to do research, we actually do have sort of commercial projects, people that pay us to do things. So we have just delivered an iPad-based augmented reality game for a museum in Denmark. And, the museum is handing out iPads to children, and then they get to walk around the museum playing this game. And it has augmented reality elements into it. We're also developing a more professionally looking stand similar to the one that I just showed you, with a 42-inch monitor and a nice wooden handle that you can grab and look around and see visual reconstructions of the past. So what is the problem in trying to get the augmented reality to look photorealistic? Obviously, there's the how to handle occlusions, how to handle the tracking. Those are things that I don't want to talk about. I want to talk about getting the illumination correct. How can I render the graphics with scene-consistent illumination? And the problem is actually what we call ill-posed, because we only have an image like this, and we don't know which is how was this image formed. It's a sort of at least for diffuse surfaces, a product of the reflectance and the illumination. So we have two unknowns and just one measurement. So there's no way that I can do anything in this area without assuming something. So here is what other people are doing. The typical approach is to acquire light probe images with a reflective sphere or with a fisheye lens and then render that. But it doesn't really work in outdoor scenarios where the light keeps changing all the time. So I want to do it in response to the changes in the scene. So we want to do it in general scenes, in real time. We don't want to assume anything, special purpose objects in the scene, and we want to do it directly from image measurements. and with not without assuming that we have an HDR camera. So that's the goal, and then we need to insert some assumptions in order to get anywhere with this problem. First of all, I'm assuming that I can get live 3D scene data, and for this purpose I'm using a commercial stereo rig. I'm assuming that the whole thing takes place outdoor. I come from a computer vision background. When I was doing computer vision, we always did things in the lab because there we could control the light. For this work, it's much more easy for me to assume that the whole thing takes place outside because there are only two illuminants, the sun and the sky, at least for daylight. I am also assuming that there's a GPS tracker somewhere in the system so that I know where on the planet I am and what time it is, so I can compute the direction vector to the sun. That's just a simple computation. And then I'm also assuming that there are a large number of diffuse surfaces in the scene. And final assumption for the work that I'm talking about today is that there are something moving in the scene. And what do I mean by estimating the illumination? Well, in this work we are doing sort of relatively simple model of the illumination based on an RGB triplet for the sky and an RGB triplet for the sun. So I have these 3D data that comes at a rate of approximately 10 frames per second. So relatively, at least to me, surprisingly high quality 3D data. This is another view of a scan that was taken from down there. So it's a textured 3D mesh. And as I said, we get 10 of those meshes per second from the Bumblebee stereo camera. So where does Radiance come into this? I'm using Radiance for developing and validating and testing. And then once things are working, we try to port it to some real-time application. So there's no strictly Radiance stuff in my presentation. It's just, I'm here to present this as an alternative way of using Radiance. I decided to use Radiance way back because it was the only renderer that I could find where I could actually predict the results. Okay, so how do we go about estimating the illumination from such sequences? Since it's a sequence, I'm exploiting the fact that I have sort of a train of images coming in. So if I look at the image right now, and if I step back a few hundred milliseconds and then take that image, if I subtract those two images, I get what happened in between those two frames. And with a little analysis that involves using the depth values and some assumptions that shadows are more blue than other dark areas in the scene, you can actually quite robustly detect the population of pixels that used to be in sun but are now in shadow. And that from this sort of population of pixels, I can set up a system of equations to compute the radiance, or actually the irradiance of the sky, or from the sky, and the irradiance from the sun. So I get sort of all those pixels vote for an illumination, in the red channel, an amount of watt per square meter contributed by the sun and contributed by the sky. I don't even remember what is what here. This is probably the sky because it has a higher blue content than this one. So sun histogram below and sky histogram above. So each of these pixels sort of vote for an irradiance of sky and sun. And then just take the majority vote and use those for as rendering or the illumination conditions when rendering. So rendering, final rendering is done by taking the mesh, inserting some augmented objects, my spheres or boxes or whatever, insert a sky dome with the estimated radiance of the sky, insert a sun disk with the estimated radiance of that, and then render the whole thing. So a couple of just a few short videos. This is the input sequence of the thing that I've been using as an example right now, until now. That's me walking in, tossing some water, just to demonstrate that water on surfaces does not get confused for shadows. And this is the same sequence, just with detected shadow pixels. So water splashes do not get detected as shadow because they don't have the same blue shift. Next slide there. So some examples. Again, programmer's art. I can insert any object I want to. Of course, I have to make sure that I don't insert geometry where there's a person walking. But in principle, I have the 3D geometry from the stereo rig to do proper depth sorting. But it just doesn't work as good with the character, me walking. I mean, that 3D data is not as reliable as the larger surfaces. So surfaces I have, I mean, the ground level here and the walls, I can cast shadows on those. So all the shadows here are cast onto the measured real geometry. And this is my attempt at, but it doesn't look, there's some gamma issue here. It looks better on the monitor, but this is the environment map estimated. So this is the estimated sky color, but it looks really gray. It's supposed to be blue. And then this is the sun disk. I think I enlarged the sun disk just a little bit in order for us to be able to see it. Probably low-pass filtered the environment map. That's probably what I did. Okay, so this is probably going to be a bit hairy, but if we try to set up a model for what's going on, if I have a pixel at the old frame, the frame that is like delta t back, a certain pixel has a value which is has come into existence by a scaling factor from the camera, 1 over pi, the video of the surface, and then the irradiance from the what's this? A, that must be sky. Yeah, so albedo or irradiance from the sky times visibility, how much of the sky can this particular pixel see, plus normal times direction vector to sun times sort of perpendicular irradiance from the sun. Similarly, the current frame, if the shadow has been detected as being in shadow now, this sun contribution is not there anymore. And we have camera constant, 1 over pi, albedo, and then visibility factor, sky visibility factor, or ambient occlusion, and then the sky irradiance. And then the trick is to divide those two things, because I have this pixel value now in shadow and what it used to look like before it came into shadow. So when I do this ratio, all the unknown things sort of disappear. I realize that now, from now on, everything I can get from the images is up to a scale factor, but it's still, yeah, I can show that later, but it works out well. So I'm using gradients to compute all those geometry factors that are needed to do this computation. The ambient occlusion map is easy to compute from the geometry. The normal map is easy to compute with a simple shader. The most problems I had in trying to convince Radiance to work with me in this research is that I had, this is really dark, but that is supposed to show that I have sort of a textured mesh, but what I really have is the geometry as a mesh, and then I have an image. I don't have I didn't know at the time how to get those UV coordinates that could allow me to render in radiance with the image onto the geometry. So I decided to do it in a really backward way, which is impossible to read. Just that I can explain what's going on here. I wrote a CAL file, sort of a shader, if you will, that when radiance finds an intersection with the geometry, it computes the camera position, or it the intersection point is sort of transformed to camera coordinate of the original camera position, and then I sort of trace that way into the image and pick up the pixel value. So it was easier than I expected, but of course there was a little debugging involved. But once it started working, I was pleased with it. So, yeah, once you do massage these expressions a little bit, you find that the irradiance from the sky is a sum function of the visibility factor, which I just computed, the normal vector, plus the direction vector to the sun, and then those pixel ratios. So that all these things are known, and I can compute this. And then once that is computed, I can insert into this expression for the sun, which involves also these nodes, and then that thing that I just computed, to allow me to compute the irradiance from the sun. And I get these histograms. So for every frame, for every pixel that has been detected as being shadow, I get a vote for how much is the sun irradiating into the to this particular point, and how much is the sky irradiating into this particular point. Never mind that. I tried to do some experiments, actually tried to establish what is ground truth in my scenes. That turned out to be way more difficult than I expected. So I had to resort into sort of creating a test, some test images where I knew what is the ground truth. So I took real images and real geometry from the stereo camera up here. The wind was very strong the day that I took this, so the shadows cast by these trees are actually enough for me to estimate the illumination conditions there. So I did that. Then I used those estimated illumination conditions to insert some virtual objects. Then I made a synthetic sequence where those virtual objects are moving. Then I'm using those fake or synthetic shadows, detecting those with my shadow detection software and estimating the illumination conditions from those synthetic shadows, and arrived at test results that demonstrate that the estimates are easily within 5% of, but I realized that this is sort of kind of a fake experiment, but it's still testing as closely as possible to the true conditions. The main source of error for this is actually indirect illumination that is not taken into account. The light bouncing off this wall, for example, and shining into the scene. Not that it's very strong in this particular case, but in some cases it's actually quite strong, and it makes for an error source that I'm trying to combat. But in principle it works. Not only in principle, but also in reality, it works, and I can render these things. This is so you can see a reflection of the estimated sky. And there's nothing in here that cannot be done in real time. We haven't completed the actual real-time implementation. The stuff that we are missing is the ambient occlusion computation. So I'm looking for the right technique to implement it there for real-time ambient occlusion. Okay, so we don't need any HDR images. We can just use this regular HD or 8-bit input video feed. And the estimated illumination actually follows the automatic gain control of the camera, which is clever in my case because most of the cameras that we are using for this have built-in and sometimes not overridable automatic gain control. So when suddenly there's more sunlight into the scene, the camera turns down the gain, and then I want the rendered virtual objects to also dim with the same factor. And this comes automatically from using this approach. It doesn't really have to, I don't have to do any iterative computations. It's not like solving a complex system, non-linear system. And it's easily doable in real time. And current work that we're trying to do is to get around this global illumination problem, this fact that there is light in the scene that's not taken into account. And this is where I left off this work. It's been at a standstill for a while, but I got to the point where I have this image and I know the geometry, so in principle I can compute what is the irradiance at this point from the rest of the scene, at least the known part of the scene, because they have that image and they have that those measurements of the radiance from this surface causes some irradiance down here, for example. So, but all these hotspots are obviously me not being able to set the right parameters in radiance. So I have to figure out how to get this computation to work stably. And another work that we're involved in right now is to extend this method to work also in overcast conditions where there are no hard shadows. And that's actually, it's actually not that difficult, but it involves knowing the reflectances of the surfaces. So I have to wait for sunshine and then estimate the albedo of everything, and then afterwards I can track the illumination conditions. I think that was it from my part. Thank you.
That was very interesting work. It seems that your global illumination is hampered by the lack of information about what's behind the camera.
Exactly.
But you, at least in your other demos, had a movable camera rig, yes. So couldn't you just rotate the camera around and capture the 3D environment?
We're fusing the geometry, and we're thinking of applications where there's something happening that would encourage the user to move the camera around once, at least once in a while, so that we have updated information of as much as possible of the whole scene. Yes.
I guess an alternative would be to use another one of the point grey cameras to just, because they have these ladybugs that'll
yes.
capture all.
Directly. Yeah. If this were to be used at a large outdoor facility with multiple stations, then it would be the engineering. The clever engineering solution would be to have a ladybug camera somewhere as a central service providing illumination information to all the clients.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the engineering solution. The scientific challenge here for me is to do it from the camera feed only.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What's the maximum 3D depth of field that you're able to reasonably extract from your stereo camera? And, what I was looking at appeared to be within 3 or 4 meters.
Yes. I didn't bring the file. I have a scene. Is that included in one of these slides? This one here. I don't have the geometry file with me. But in this particular case, we can't even see from here because of the light and the dim quality of the images. But this wall here is actually extending way back. That's like 50 meters down to this. And I actually have some geometry from down there. So it does do, it does do 16-bit resolution. So it can do 30 or 50 meters and still have reasonable depth resolution up front, because the camera has two choices of baseline. It can do a 25 centimeter baseline, and it has a third camera where you can do half baseline for close views. But this is already by now a relatively cheap and old-ish camera, but it's commercially available and it costs $2,000 or something. I'm hoping that 123D Catch from Autodesk can help me create high quality background the scene information. I don't know if you've come across that. It's actually free, very easy to use. You just take pictures and then you get a very, very, very high quality 3D construction. from Autodesk. You just take your SLR camera, take many images of whatever you want to reconstruct, you upload that to a server, come wait, and back comes the 3D reconstruction with textures at incredible resolution and perfection. Really.
Is it still in development in Autodesk Lab?
No, you can add? Well, it's released in beta, and then it works on the iPad, I can show you.
And you think it will remain free?
I don't know if it remains free. I think it's they're thinking about having it as you can log in via Facebook, so it's like a community. I guess they're hoping it will be something like SoundCloud just for 3D. Or YouTube.
Mm-hmm. So if there are no more questions, let's thank you.